Father invited me to come and spend time with his family in McCluskeyganj, which was an outpost that he had taken them to for safety in the Bihari plateau beneath the mountains. So I only stayed a few days, and he asked me to, because I had, he knew, a traveler's check in Calcutta awaiting me, to see if I could assist his journey to America by taking his sponsorship papers to Lufthansa, his preferred carrier. But it turned out that they didn't understand that he couldn't attend Calcutta himself. So I discovered that my dad had had a heart attack and I couldn't go back to him. I sent him a telegram about that. And I returned to England, having been sent a ticket by my parents. But my dad was better by the time I came back, and I persuaded my best friend, Keith, to sell up his belongings in his apartment and fly with me back to McCluskeyganj, where I was hoping Father still was. This was a few months after I came back to England. But when we got there, we turned out that Father had gone to America from Kathmandu, and now I spent the time in the Indian jungle with Father's family, which consisted of his wife Mishtu, his two daughters Ruma and Lopa, Lopa's son Vishnu, and her husband Nando, and also Chiranjeeva's mother, Dida. There were other people. There was his putative son-in-law, Simon. There was also Danny and Jen from Australia and other visitors who came. But anyway, I got there on September the 17th, which was 2 days before September the 19th of the beginning of Shiva Kalpa era, which we date from September the 19th, 1966. So this was going to be fourth year, Shiva Kalpa. And he had said there would be some terrible destruction on that day. I spent all that day awaiting big red clouds to appear on the horizon. But finally, thanks to a seemingly unknowing effort by the grandson Vishnu, I suddenly realized through him that there wasn't going to be a destruction, everything was going to be all right. And we resumed daily life there at McCluskeyganj, which for me, because the food was so simple, since we had very little money to buy food, just eating, smoking chillums, and playing the Indian board game of Karam, that it was a very idyllic period for me. But still, there were problems, because I was certainly not popular with Simon, the son-in-law. And November the 15th turned out to be, which was incidentally my best friend Keith's birthday, turned out to be an important moment. See, all this time in the jungle there, I had been criticized for my chillum making by Chiranjeeva. I had been practicing making the perfect chillum. On this day, I made one to my own satisfaction, handed the chillum to Simon to light it. He smoked it, handed it over to me, and somehow this smoke was different from any other I'd ever had. I enveloped the chillum and smoked as though one with the object, went to my room, lay down. All of a sudden, in my brain appeared Chiranjeeva. As closely as I see this recording machine in front of me, about the same size, as a matter of fact, in my head. And I was so overwhelmed by this event, and I couldn't even believe it was true at first. I was babbling that after about 30 seconds, and I wanted three things to happen, I said, for me to know that this was a real event, a candle is left in my brain, and Chiranjeeva then disappeared. But as I got up, I suddenly realized I was somehow physically transformed. For example, my eyesight. I could see perfectly. I didn't need my glasses, which were there. And as I discovered, physically, I was floating like a butterfly. No weight. What I would call the state of enlightenment. And this lasted the whole time that I was in McCluskey Gulch. But this is another story. Because at this moment, I suddenly remembered School for Perfect Eyesight. Aurobindo's ashram. Aurobindo, for example, was the yogi who had made most impression on Chiranjeeva before his own enlightenment. And suddenly, it all became one, fused. And I was fused inside this story. And so, I am ending part one of my relating the story of Josephus. Ta-da!